This is the Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.
When it comes to home repairs, we could all use a guy. Well, we've got the guy, and we've got the show. For all your home improvement questions, we've got answers. This is the Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Now, here's your host, Dayton Kane and David Nason.
Welcome to the last Saturday of the month. We made it through March already. Can you believe it?
Year's flying by. It's like the first quarter is done.
It is, yes.
Quarter of the year already of 2025. Remember when it was 2000?
No, I don't anymore.
We should be talking like Buck Rogers right by now, right?
Oh yeah, right. Flying our ships around.
Right, exactly. But instead, we'll talk about home construction things and fixing things and
that's
basements.
A good idea. Since it's a fix-it show, that's a wise idea, David.
We had a lot of rain yesterday morning, at least out by me. Thunderstorms and lightning and thunderstorms and
good time to be talking about foundations. Then.
Exactly.
And look who's with us. Introduce our guest,
Jeff
here.
Ellsworth, Gatish Foundation. Welcome, Jeff.
Hello, how you doing?
Good. How are you today?
Good.
This guy is the most relaxed person I've ever met. You're just like a cucumber, a cool cucumber all the time. So.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about Gatish and where you guys all serve, what you do.
We try to stay in southeast Wisconsin, but we're obviously moving a little bit farther out every time we get referrals. But we try to stay. If you take the airport and you go an hour and a half any direction, we try not to go any farther than that. But sometimes we do.
Yeah, okay. You get asked to do. I do the same thing. Yeah, and I'm sure you guys do too. And when somebody specifically wants you to come and do work on their house, you kind of take that.
Yeah, you have to kind of again referrals, especially even if I just go give advice and they hire someone else up in that area. I do that a lot of times too. But sometimes it's analyzing the problems a lot more important than getting the person to fix it, because that's where it has to start. If you analyze the problem wrong and you do a wrong repair, you're going to be fixing it later. If you do it right, you only have to do it once.
Correct. Yeah. And we'll get into a lot of stuff here this hour, but there's different types of foundations. There's at least four, block, concrete, brick, stone,
wood.
And wood, we see very, very few wood.
We're fixing one right now.
Are you really?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are done.
How old is that building?
A little more, that's more prevalent up in like Minnesota.
Some of them are newer.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, the one we're fixing, someone actually hit it with a block wall. They didn't find it until they took their patio out. Once they took their patio out, they found a wall that was completely gone. So now the block wall, the wood wall has to come out, and the new block wall and footing has to be put in its place.
Yeah. And you can do all that with a house sitting on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
You have to
crib the house.
Yeah,
that's crazy to me.
Kind of similar to like if you're going to move the house, if you've ever seen that.
Yep.
But you're not picking it up. You're just supporting it in place. Right. So a lot of different foundations, different ways to analyze them, as you kind of said. And like I said, the wood foundations, we see a few. I've heard of a few around here.
Not many.
Yeah, no. But it's like I said, I've heard more up in Minnesota area, in real colder climates where it's not as wet. Where they can waterproof them a little easier and the ground's a little more stable.
There's also some modular.
Sure.
The two styrofoam forms that go up with the cement in the middle. There's modular foundations.
Yeah, I guess that is another one.
But we're basically, brick, old, or actually start with the fieldstone, brick, block, poured. That's kind of a progression of basements.
Gotcha. Around here. Yeah.
And you guys can work on all of them?
Yeah, normally we try to stay away from the fieldstone, because fieldstone basements are 3 feet thick. If you want a dry fieldstone basement, good luck.
You're right.
they're not going to be dry. It's an old farmhouse.
Yeah.
Then you go to the brick. Everyone looks at that brick wall on the inside of ours, and they go, oh, my goodness, it's bad. Or they look at the brick wall of the outside. Oh, look, it's good. Those are two separate walls. There's an air gap. There's an air gap in the middle, and it's so you're not seeing. So you try to brace a brick wall, and you're bracing the front facade of the wall. On the inside of the house, you're not stabilizing the outside unless there's a soldier course or something between there.
Another one in between the two.
Right. Yeah. And it's really flipping a coin whether that's going to work or not.
Okay. Yeah. You guys do free estimates, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. So Gatish is spelled G-A-I-Dish. So G-A-I-D-I-S-H. If you add a .com to that, you find the website.
Yep.
So you could go there while we're hitting this first break here and check them out, see what they all do. We'll talk about kind of more of your services when we come back. Like, we know it's foundations, but what does that mean?
Okay.
We'll get to that next on The Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
The Fix-It Show with Dayton Kane and David Nason on WTMJ.
You can always find the Fix-It Show podcast on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Good morning, Dayton and David here. We have Jeff Ellsworth from Gatish Foundation on this hour, and you can ask your questions, 855-616-1620. If you want to know, I mean, we've had a lot of rain. Well, yesterday we had a lot of rain, and there's more coming. So is that when your phones really start ringing?
This time of the year? Yeah.
Well, they start remembering their basements. I mean, they always leaked. You know, the people out there, you got to go check. And don't wait till the last minute till you sell a house. But, and again, if you've been listening to the show for any amount of time, they stress it. Gutters, downspouts, and grading. Yep.
Tom said that forever.
You know, and I go to a house, and even after we fix the gutters, down, I go back 2 years later. Nothing.
Yeah, right.
When you see a leak in your house and it's coming high on the wall, everybody thinks this drain tiles is magic repair. It's not. If it's high on the wall, it's never drain tile. Drain tile water doesn't run uphill ever.
Yeah.
So you see a pyramid in your corner, go outside, I guarantee you there's a downspout out in your corner leaking. You see a big patch of efflorescence, and efflorescence is the lime and the salt being pulled out of the block, and you'll see a white powder or chipping paint. Go look. There's probably a patio pitch back towards the house. You have to look at a basement, and you have to kind of analyze. If the water's high on the wall, the basement will stop you from seeing it, or doing a drain tile system at the base of your wall will stop you from seeing it, but it won't fix the problem. It's just going to divert the problem underneath your floor.
Yeah.
So grading, gutters, and downspouts are the proper way to attack water before you do anything else.
Right. And I had an inspection of an old duplex in Milwaukee near downtown Brewers Hill kind of area, and had the old, because these houses are 3 feet apart, and the downspouts are going into the old cast iron drains, and you can see a couple of them are tipped a little bit, and everywhere there was a downspout in the basement, the walls were very stained and everything. So obviously those downspouts underground are cracked and leaking. And so now what do you do? Because you can't just put extensions on. Where's the water going to go? So we talked about some options, but it can be difficult in a
sometimes you got to run a camera down there.
When I say a close urban, you know, neighborhood, like I said, 3 feet apart, there's just a sidewalk, you know, between you and the next house. It's you know, difficult, but you got to try to do something.
Yeah.
Same thing with if you have to remove a Palmer valve, and you know, a lot of people should. I guess maybe we can get some time to talk about what a Palmer valve is versus a sub pump, because everybody thinks this sub pump is this magic thing. It's a bucket with a pump in it. Right? A Palmer valve is a brass flap that opens up and sends the water down the drain. The reason they don't want Palmer valves is not because they don't work. It's because they don't want the water in their deep tunnel project.
They do work. If they're not rusted shut.
Right, but I mean, they don't want the water in the tunnel project, so they're making customers, I think they're making homeowners suffer by putting in a sump crock that fails during an electrical outage when it's raining and your basement floods.
But there is a lot of misunderstanding about what a Palmer valve is and does and everything. You go to my website, bestinspectionsllc.com. Tom Faze's got, if you go down to content, there's an article he wrote years ago called Keep My Basement Dry. Or Keep Your Basement Dry, and on there's one of his diagrams and some good pictures about everything we're talking about, plus diagrams of what a Palmer valve is and everything. It is not a backflow preventer to keep sewage out of your basement. It does not do that. Right. It does not do that. It'll keep sewage from backing up into the drain tile, but not onto your basement floor, and it doesn't stop sewer gases. The water in the trap does that and everything. So,
you know what the fix 25 years ago with a stuck Palmer valve flap was?
Break it off.
Take a hammer, smack it, and break it off.
Right.
it's come a long way. Like I said, they want, and again, the key is it's clean water. You know, I stick my hand down a sewer, I grab that bottom out of flap. Yeah. They always open from the bottom, and they pivot to the top. Grab them, try to pull them open. If not, get yourself a good plumber. And there's a couple of plumbers out there that I've used a lot, and they've got them open every single time that they've went out.
It's got to be a plumber who's been around Milwaukee for a while.
But I mean, if you get them open, they're functioning.
Yeah.
They're grandfathered in. You break them off, when you sell your home, home inspector is going to look at it. Say you don't have a Palmer valve, the city's going to make us put a sub pump in.
I think only the city of Milwaukee does that.
Wauwatosa.
But they got to find out.
Wauwatosa, New Berlin.
But the city's got to find out, because nothing against the city or anything, but home inspectors, we don't share our reports with municipalities.
But if we do any work,
So if you do work,
you have to permit it.
We have, and we have to tell them we're going to. You do. They check, right. Yeah.
Because they can't be fixed or replaced. They're, once they're not working, they're done. You got to be abandoned and put in that bucket, as you said, in the corner and the pump. Now you got to figure out where that's going to go. We talk about downspouts, and now you got to figure out where your sump pump's going to discharge, because it can't go into the sewer. Can't go into,
90% of the time you're correct, but sometimes in really tricky circumstances where you got a house right next to a house right next to the south, sometimes the city will grant an exception to let you put it into the sewer. Right. And it can't go into the sewer only if it's a split system. If you're in an area that has a storm and a sanitary, now you can put it into the storm. You can't put it into a sanitary or a split system.
Right. And if your house is built after, 53, 54, somewhere right in there, you likely do not have a Palmer valve.
Correct. After 50s, you're done.
Some of the early 50s are...
All right, we do need to take a break, but we'd love to hear from you. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. We do have Jeff here from Gatish Foundation talking about your basement. I'm sure you got plenty of questions about them because they can be scary. People freak out about basements a lot, and we'll talk about that when we come back. When should we freak out? When shouldn't we? It is the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
WTMJ's The Fix-It Show with David Nason and Dayton Kane.
Thank you for joining us. Breezy, a chance of showers, especially to the north today, a high of 60. Dayton Kane and David Nason here with Jeff Ellsworth from Gatish Foundation, talking about foundation repair, basements, all that fun stuff, and taking your calls at 855-616-1620. Let's go to Mike in Powers Lake. Good morning. Thanks for calling. What's your question?
Good morning. Big fan of the show. Appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
I wanted to better understand the difference between a sump pump pit and a gravity pit.
So we got the information about your call before we came on the air, and Jeff and I were kind of talking, so maybe the gravity pit is more of what we call a sanitary crock, where floor drains and maybe a utility sink, the other things are going into that crock. Is that probably the case?
No, I think this is just all groundwater, but I've got a walkout basement that then has goes into a ravine.
Okay. Are you on a city sewer or are you on a private septic system or holding
private
tank? You're on a private system. Do you have any plumbing in that lower level, like a utility sink?
Yes.
Yeah. So most likely that's going to be a sanitary drain, because that, whatever that is, has to be pumped into your septic system, right?
Is there a pump in it?
Is there a pump in there?
There is not. And that was kind of the confusion that when we bought the house and had a home inspection, didn't know about Dave at the time or what he used them.
Thank
but
you.
The home inspector said, you've got a pit there, but there's no pump. It needs a sump pump. And I mean, it was confusing to me because the house is, was 30 years old, and it's like, well, wait a minute. If it hasn't needed a pump for 30 years, why does it need one now?
Yeah. Is there an inlet pipe going into the crock? Is it a crock with just little holes in it, or is it a crock with a pipe that goes in it?
To be honest, I'm not certain, because it's covered because of the it's sealed because of the
radon system.
Radon system, okay. Yes.
Yeah. Also, that's one question. Also, is the water in that crock, if you've ever looked in it, is it more gray or murky rather than clear water?
No, I actually think it's clear.
Okay. Basically, we're asking these questions really to determine groundwater going into a sump crock is clear water. It's not the cleanest water. You're not going to want to dip a cup in there and drink it, versus gray water that's coming out of some kind of drain, a sink, floor drain or something, and then you have black water, which is sewage. But it sounds curious to me that you'd have two.
Well,
but being on a lake kind of sometimes throws some things.
And the other time, like my house, I live in the area of Polk Slinger area, and I have a sub pump in my thing, and it has a crock, and it has a pump, and my pump hasn't run in 20 years. Some people eliminate. I go to houses; they take the pump out because they've never used it because they're on a sandy, they're on a hill, water's not getting into the system, so you don't really need it. But until you take that off and look if there's a discharge, I mean, could it be that you have a holes in the bottom of the crock, the water fills up, then there's a tube going out to grade out to the lake by the hill, the crock fills up, it follows the gravity down to the lake and discharges by the lake? Who knows? I mean, you until someone looks at that, good luck.
Yeah, it might just be the ground water table filling it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, thank you.
All right, thanks for listening.
Thanks for calling.
Have a great weekend. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. If you have questions for Jeff from Gatish Foundation, make sure you give us a call, and we will take them when we come back.
More of your questions next. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Thank you for joining us. It's going to be an interesting Saturday where our temperatures are actually going to fall as we go throughout the day.
The pneumonia front, or what is it called?
Pneumonia front. Oh, where we get nice and warm and then it gets cold.
I was watching. I'm a weather junkie kind of, just because of what I do and everything. But when the definition is when the temperature drops at least 16 degrees within an hour. So this front's supposed to be coming down from the north, and the temperature's supposed to drop like that. I think it's called a pneumonia front.
Gotcha. Yeah. Chance of rain as well today, so be ready for that, especially to the north. Gatish on with us, GAIDISH.com, Gatish.com. Foundation specialist, basement waterproofing, it says on your website here. So let's talk through a couple things. If I see efflorescence on my wall.
Yes.
Yeah, can you spell that?
EFFLORESCENCE.
Okay, I don't know if you're right or not. So if I see that, should I freak out? What does that mean? What am I supposed to be looking at that point?
Just let's tell the people so they don't have to say efflorescence. If you see a white powder on your wall, you rub your hand on the wall and you get a white powder. What that means, somewhere along that line, a masonry product, whether it be block, what could be your basement floor, has gotten wet. And then a natural drying press process, the minerals get pulled out of the block, and it leaves that white powder on your wall.
Okay.
And that's what we call efflorescence, but at the end of the day, let's just call it white powder.
Yeah.
And when you see that, it's either something, if it's way at the bottom, it could be drain tile backing up, but it's most likely that water's getting into the cores of the block. And when water gets in the cores of the block, walls aren't designed to have water inside of them. And when it gets inside the block, it goes down the interior of the block, it fills the block up kind of like a glass of water. And that water has to go somewhere. So it wicks out into the block. In a natural drying process, you see the white powder.
So is that damaging the wall? Like if it goes on for a long time, is it weakening the wall?
It'll be a really long time.
Really long time and a lot of water.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just what we look at to see there's a potential problem. Because you understand, if your basement sub pump failed, your basement flooded, and this happened 20 years ago, you know, and now all of a sudden you tell me it's never happened again. That's why when it does happen, go downstairs after it happens, after it dries up, take a picture of the problem. So 10 years when you're going to sell your house and you call me and you say, that only happened one time, it happened 10 years ago. And I say, I wish I could believe you.
Yeah, prove it.
And you show me the picture with a date on it and you whatever.
Then you're all good.
Documentation of a crack. If I hear 1,000 times a year, that crack's been there for 25 years. And you didn't think to take a picture of it or document it? And again, it's just crazy. Take a picture of your crack in your basement. Go throw it in an envelope. When you sell your house, if someone asks about the crack and you can prove it's been there for 15 years and it hasn't moved, we're going to deem it okay.
How do you do that these days? Because back in the day, you'd hold a newspaper up with the date on it so you could show. I know when you take a digital photo, it snaps the date you took the photo, but if I print it off, it's not always there.
So when you have that home that you're buying inspected and they see a crack and you haven't inspected like you should be having it inspected, make sure your home inspector puts a picture in their report and says, West Foundation Wall Step Crack. You know, observed.
So you did my inspection, so that's in there.
You're right.
I have that proof.
And then, some comment, no evidence of moisture intrusion or movement observed, if there isn't any. Don't make things up, but I say that a lot, and monitor its condition, meaning keep an eye on it.
We have a snapshot of 1 hour when we're at your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you want us to tell you what the house did yesterday and what the house is going to do tomorrow? Good luck.
Yeah.
What you need to understand, it's you have to do your due diligence. If you don't do your due diligence, gutters, grading, downspouts, and keeping track of things that are bad, don't get mad at us when we come in and tell you, hey, we can't tell you. You should probably brace that wall. But it's been, well, you should have taken a picture of it 20 years ago.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, there's evidence that it has moved. And when there's evidence it's moved, it's cracked, and you don't have evidence that it's been there a long time, you have to assume that it's moving.
Right, and that's the key word. You don't have to fix a wall that has moved. You have to fix a wall that is moving. But in order to say it's not going to be moving, we have to have definitive proof that it's been that way for a period of 10 years, and that's right in the standard.
So people, you know, when they start seeing cracks, they start seeing efflorescence, white powder on their walls, they do get a little nervous, like, oh, what's going on? Mm-hmm. What's happening? Is there a point of no return? Like, what's that point when you guys go in and see a basement? You're like, yeah, unfortunately, we have to rip this whole thing out and start over. Is that far and few and far between? Mostly we're bracing, we're building back.
You mean rebuild a wall?
Yeah.
Oh, far. Okay.
Brick walls.
Yeah.
Mostly brick walls.
Right. Block walls, again, structural problems usually cause, or severe deterioration would cause that to happen. But for the most part, I would say 95% of the jobs we go to can be salvaged or can be repaired in a way that they'll last for the eternity or the life of the house.
Okay. So people shouldn't freak out. It's fixable. It's you can stop it from getting worse.
Everything's fixable.
Yeah, but don't be afraid to call you guys to come out to do a free estimate because you don't want to hear what's going to be said. Yeah. Let's get the problem fixed and make sure we're dealing with it.
Because it's not going to get any better if you don't do anything.
And like efflorescence. So efflorescence, the white powder. If you see it, a lot of times you'll see it when you're going down the stairs and the garage is right next. You'll see that whole wall from top to bottom is kind of deteriorating. That's normally from the salt coming off your cars going down the crack. If there's efflorescence high on the wall, it's always an exterior problem, whether that be grading, gutters, and downspouts or excavate and waterproof. Drain tile will not fix that problem. If it's just on the bottom course of block, 6 inches off the floor, let's say, and you just have a rim around your house.
Ring around the collar.
That could be a drain tile issue. And we, as a company, strongly suggest you do not let the person that's going to do the work do the test. I call it letting the wolf in the hen house. I'm a firm believer you hire an independent contractor that only tests drain tiles, not affiliated with any other contractor, do the test. And then you call three contractors in to get a price on how that is to be repaired. That keeps everybody honest.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Makes sense. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. We have Jeff with us for another 18 minutes or so, so get your questions in. Gaidish.com, GAIDISH.com is their website. It is the Fix It Show, and we thank you for listening to WTMJ this morning. Dayton Kane here with David Nason. Thank you for listening. The Bucks versus Atlanta Hawks tomorrow, 6 p.m. tip-off at Fiserv if you want to check it. I was listening to the radio the other day, and somebody said Fiserv. I'm like, are you not from here? How do you say Fiserv? Fiserv. We have Jeff here from Gaidish Foundation on with us, answering any calls or texts you have at 855-616-1620. You want to read through that text, sir?
I surely will. I have a 1930s home with a fieldstone foundation that was covered with gunite. Read my words, seepage will occur, and I'll get in. Okay, so I have two floor drains with no sump pump. When we have a high rain event, water comes up from the small gap between the fruit cellar door frame that the basement floor was poured around. Have you dealt with this and any possible solutions? So what I was saying is I put in my reports, if you have a stone foundation, you should plan on seepage. And why would that be, Jeff?
Because there is no drain tile system. There's no footing. It's not meant to be. It wasn't built to be dry when it was built.
Yeah.
So what you're getting.
Waterproof.
Yeah, you're getting hydrostatic pressure coming underneath the floor during heavy rain. So the key is to make that heavy rainstorm where you get the water turn into a minor rainstorm. The only way to do that is by grading gutters and downspouts to get the majority of the water away from your house. Like I said, you could say, hey, listen, I want to put a drain tile system in a sump crack, and I would tell you you're nuts. You might as well open your window and throw it out the door when you're wanting
to call me
money.
And hand me a check.
Right. But again, you need to fix grading gutters and downspouts. There's no real good way. Matter of fact, having it sprayed with gunite is so much better than most of them that are out there.
Yeah.
Because if that was done after someone excavated that wall, I'm assuming, and again, you're on the phone, so I'm assuming the exterior of the wall, because the interior, if they sprayed with gunite, that's nothing but a cosmetic repair.
Yeah. It's basically like a parging that you see on brick walls and stuff. So it's just to make it look prettier. But I was going to say, so back to what I said before, that article that Tom wrote, Keep My Basement Dry. If you find that on my website, and it talks about Fieldstone foundations, and one of the main thing is there, exactly what you said, gutters, grading, and downspouts. Get the water away, and if this sounds like a farmhouse, there's probably room around the house, and the foundation's probably up out of the ground a little bit, that you should have some room there. You might need to put window wells in if you don't have them yet to protect any windows that might be there, but you really should be able to bring in some brown dirt, not black dirt that's going to wash away, but some brown dirt, a little bit of clay in it, something that can compact a little
bit. If you're not going to grow anything, put straight brown. If you want something to grow, put a blend, 60-40, 70-30 blend, brown, black. But again, the browner the better. Clay repels water. And again, do not put mulch around your house and say, hey, listen, I pitched it, because mulch and stone do not repel water.
No, they're filters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you could put some felt or something under, or some kind of
plastic.
If you're in a situation where you're difficult to try to get a slope away from your house, maybe it's between the house and a sidewalk or a patio. You got an area that's flat. Maybe you do need to put something underneath your mulch or rocks to help keep the water away.
Or pour the walkway tight to the house, pitched away, and then caulk the seam.
Right.
All right. Thanks for the question. We have one segment left. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with Jeff from Gatish Foundation. 855-616-1620. If you have any questions yet, you better get them in quick. It is a Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Dayton and David. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Indeed it is, and thank you for listening, and thank you to Siding Unlimited and J&B Construction for sponsoring us every week. We appreciate that. Jeff in from Gatish Foundation. We've been talking about basements and things we're looking at when we walk down the stairs. Lead us into what we have. We got one segment left. Jeff, what do you want to wrap it up with? What should people know?
I'm just going to talk about the way I run my company, and I believe the people that work for me or myself, when I go look at basements, because I look at a lot of them, it's our job to educate you on your basement. And then you have to take some time to process that. I shouldn't be sitting at your kitchen table for 4 hours trying to get you to sign that piece of paper, because there's a problem when that's happening. You need to process. You need to get three, in my opinion, you need to get three opinions. If all three contractors, you call contractor ABC, they look at your basement. If all three contractors have a similar repair, or they all agree on the repair, you can feel confident that your repair is the right repair. But if you have three reputable contractors out there and they give you three completely different opinions, you might want to get an engineer or an independent consultant that has nothing to gain by what they tell you, because you have three choices. Pick the guy you like, pick the cheapest, pick the most expensive. Three terrible ways to pick a contractor, because you're going to spend however much money that is, and if the job is done right, trust me, it's going to cost me more to fix it the second time than you paid to get it done wrong the first time.
Yeah.
What's the saying? If you can
buy once, cry once.
No, if you can afford to do it twice.
If you can't afford to do it twice,
do it right the first.
Do it right the first time.
Yeah.
And we might not have that exact
something like that. Yeah. But yeah, that's I cringe every time somebody calls me that I've been in their home and they went with somebody else, and then a couple of years later they call and say, "Can you come fix this?" No.
Or they say, "We wish we would have gone."
Yeah, we would have gone with you. No. Get the right guy the first time. And like you said, if there's three completely different opinions coming at you, get a third party that's not involved in the repair at all, and make sure that they're telling you the truth.
You know, I do get calls sometimes, and I look at basements as part of home inspections. I don't consider myself an expert on foundations. I have looked at some, but it's not I consider myself an expert on the exterior of your house with sidings and things like that. Below grade, I would really rather you have somebody who's got much more experience in that, as far as an engineer or a consultant, somebody who's been doing that for a while.
And as people have to understand, when I go to a house and my company, and my policy at my company is we always work for the buyer. I don't care if the seller calls me out or the buyer calls me out. I work for the person that owns the home tomorrow. I'm not going to do a repair that I don't believe in, because the seller just wants to get the house run down
right.
The road.
Well, I mean,
you want it done right.
Unless you're doing it for somebody who owns their house and it's not part of a real estate transaction.
Correct, but now,
that would be
but
different.
They would be the buyer. They would be the person that owns it tomorrow, not the buyer. The person that is going to own the home tomorrow.
I'm saying some people might say, well, they might be planning on staying in their house for 20 years. I mean, you're going to work for those people,
too. People that own the home. I'm going to work for the people that are going to own it moving forward.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, okay. People get in touch with you at GAIDISH.com. Do you have a phone number they can call?
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you something. Me and computers are. I know we have a website, but and you're not going to believe it, I've never been on it. My daughter is now with our company, as is my son. They look at it, and they're updating it a little bit. But it's better to call us at 414-282-1800.
Okay.
And you call up Eric or Sarah. My kids, one of them will answer the phone. They will set you up with either me, John, or Blaine to come out and look at one of your homes, and we will give you an honest assessment of your home and you know what we think it would take to fix it.
And free.
It's
quote.
Free.
Yeah. Free quote. Okay. Always good to have you on the show. Thank you for coming in today.
Good
waking
to see
up
Jeff.
Early on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Too early. Yeah. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Coming up
next, hour number two, we have Matt Hefter from Serta Pro coming in, and we'll check into the WTMJ Breaking News Center.
This has been the Fix It Show on WTMJ, presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests, and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.